Look at this new digs, new table.
Yeah, everyone listening, like, what am I looking at? But if you're watching, look at this. We got a new table. We felt the other table was a little too big for the space.
And now you get to see more of our bodies.
Ooh, that's what you've always wanted.
People have been demanding it. They're like, hey, where are your legs? Where are your feet?
Yeah, we don't believe you got legs, bro. Well, now you can kind of see my hips.
All right.
I don't know if I necessarily want you to see my hips, dog.
Okay. They don't lie.
I'm not a fan of how it moves.
Yeah, we got.
I like how my hips move. By the way, I'm not a fan of this.
We gotta sort out this. It's a little wobbly.
We're gonna either fix it or return this.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, when it comes to the Cooligans' budget for furniture, it's not exactly super high. So we gotta work with whatever we can get. I hope maybe
if you want to donate to the table fund.
The table fund.
Yeah. I can't promise you it's all gonna be used for the table.
You know what?
I'm afraid to lean on it. That's not good. It's not a good sign.
There's no better charity to contribute to than the table fund. Obviously, if you want to feel good about yourself.
It was Sarah McLachlan music as the table jiggles in 120 frames per second. Well, let us know if you hear any weird sounds, any jiggling. It might be my belly, and if it's not, it could be the table. Let us know if you hear anything.
Yes, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Another exciting. I mean, guest upon guest, especially. You know, we had Joe.
We got to get the sound of revolving door on this thing.
Okay, I'm going to go get some Foley. Put my iPhone.
It's just going to be a guy with like a piece of aluminum in a quiet room punching celery. Like, what the hell is that?
We got to get Hollywood studio sound effects for this program. But no, we have an incredible guest. On Monday, we had Joe Pompliano. Yahoo Sports contributor, business mogul, exactly.
Cha-ching, I don't know how that sounds.
And that led to a lot of great engagement and conversation. The comment section is
look at you using business terms.
Going wild.
Got us good engagement, Carter. You hearing that?
All right.
Put that on the deck for the next business meeting.
Our KPIs are through the roof.
Oh, no.
But today, the comment section is going to go crazy. We have the one and only Chicago Fire, Kellen Acosta. Kellen will be joining us in just a little bit.
KA, as we call him. We've never called him that before, by the way.
Okay, but now's the perfect time to start.
All right, we gave the guy a nickname, and he's not even on the show yet.
That's right. Good. Kellen, second time on the show.
Technically third because we did interview him at All-Star.
Oh, that's
way back in the day.
Way back when, which was in Chicago, but he was playing for the FC Dallas at the time.
So. They were playing Real Madrid.
Okay, that's very loud because it's so much closer to us.
Oh, yeah.
The speaker. Anyway,
that was just to annoy Christian.
everything's functional, so that's good to see. But let's start today's show with the return of the Premier League. And... oh boy,
you know,
Arsenal Football Club.
Your favorite team did us no favors, by the way.
I mean,
you didn't even help us a little bit.
Well, we helped you like, you know, 7 weeks ago, the first time Everton played Liverpool.
Some would say that was wasted.
Well, look, let's talk about how Arsenal wasted their season. They played against Fulham.
They did. They played against the Arsenal B team. Bro, everybody in a Fulham shirt, I'm like, you used to play for our squad. Help us out a little bit.
Well, there's so many teams in London that it's like, if you have an option to go play for, let's say, Manchester United or Liverpool or Newcastle, whatever, teams that might, like, you know, not even necessarily, I'm not, you know, Manchester United is not a better team to go to necessarily, but as far
all right, well, the thoughts saying, provided on this show are those of just Christian Polanco.
If you can go to another London club, you don't even have to get a new home.
You don't have to sell your home. You don't have to take your kids out of school.
It's not a big deal. But Arsenal, they went 2-1, so they closed the gap as much as I possibly could for the Premier League title. But what's the issue right now is injuries.
Gabriel Magalhaes, man. Just as Saka gets back, and can we just take a second to talk about the reaction? Even Saka had to respond to it on social media. The love that this man got, just getting up to warm up, him coming on the pitch. This is literally like the embodiment of Arsenal Football Club. It feels like everyone who is an Arsenal fan, especially if you're from North London or if you're from that area, you feel this weird connection, this tight bond with Bukayo Saka and his success, but his demeanor and the way he carries himself. The bond is so strong. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. A player like this coming back from injury and the outpouring of love. Well, you know, we should get the revolving door sound because one player comes back from injury and another one's like, all right, then it's my time to go. And Gabriel Magalhães goes down. They don't kick the ball out, unfortunately, so he kind of played on it a little longer than he should have.
Right.
But he goes down with, for end of the season, do they say that
hamstring, yeah.
Is it just a hamstring? Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it was worse. But he's out for the season. And look, at the end of the day, you say to yourself, like, you know, the Premier League title is clearly out of reach at this point. It's pretty much Liverpool's season. So you just hope that he comes back stronger. But there is another competition that Arsenal are part in.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of hope, just a little bit, that they could have had a magic run in Champions League. They're about to play Real Madrid. And now your best defender, or at least some would say it was Saliba.
I would say best defender and also
one of your best scorers.
One of your best scorers. Yeah, how many goals does he have? Like three or four this season?
They're not really scoring on set pieces as much anymore. It seems like other teams have kind of figured out the Nicolas Jovert system. But he is a threat. He is a consistent threat, and he's so good defensively. And the partnership, and I've always said that partnership, to me, the argument as to who's a better defender, him or William Saliba, it's the partnership that's the most important. And they clearly have a very strong partnership. One knows to go forward. One knows to stay home. They sort of keep everyone else in check, especially the way they play with Declan Rice sometimes sliding back a little deeper in the pocket. Whoever's playing left back, whoever's playing right back, knowing that they have to sort of venture forward and come back. They play so well together. Mm-hmm. And especially with the high line that I don't even know why I'm going to watch the Real Madrid match. I'm going to watch because I'm an Arsenal fan and I'm going to hope that there's a chance we win. But just the thought of whichever one of our, Kvyat trying to defend against, Kylian Mbappe, Vinicius, if he slides over to that side, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. So it's. So I do want to talk about this in particular. Why are the so many hamstring injuries? So it's Havertz is a hamstring mm-hmm. as well. So Bukayo Saka had he was out for what, almost 4 months.
Yep.
Hamstring. Gabriel Magalhães hamstring. Who else was? Odegaard was hurt in international duty.
Yeah.
But at this point, you have to start asking, why are there so many specific hamstring injuries? Because this is not obviously hamstring injuries are very common in the game, but it just seems so odd that this club keeps getting burned in this same exact way.
I don't think it's just Arsenal, but I think Arsenal is a great example of it happening a lot, especially this season. The easiest answer, without being a doctor, and I'm not a medical doctor, I know a lot of you listen to this show for good medical advice, but the first thing is just these players are way overused, especially because Arsenal for so long have lacked significant depth. You're looking at the players you're talking about. Bukayo Saka. I mean, now we know we have a backup that is very good in Wanyeri. Mm-hmm. But before that, I keep giving him an Enya for no reason, in Wanyeri. Before that, this was a kid. You didn't know he could back up Bukayo Saka. Personally, I would have wished Bukayo Saka would have been giving a little bit more rest. But a lot of these players that you mentioned, Odegaard, Saka, Magalhães, these are written in markers, starters, because you don't have a significant backup option. There's no one that can play at the level they do. And I understand that most backups aren't at the level, but it is a serious drop-off, especially the way Arsenal play, where it seems like any weak link in that chain within the 11 gets exposed and exposes the whole team.
Sure.
They play such a high line. They play so aggressively forward that you need every one of those players across the whole thing to be functioning at a high level. I mean, you've seen what it was like when Martinelli was just refusing to run out defenders. He's doing a much better job of it.
Martinelli was hurt as well. Was he hamstring?
I can't remember if he was hamstring or knee. Carter, if you could look that up.
Yeah.
But what you're looking at is you don't have many positions where you can put in a backup. And even if it's like 70%, you can survive. Those three in particular, you don't have that. The amount of competitions Arsenal are in, the amount of games that this starting 11 plays, I'm looking at someone like Liverpool is a good example. I think City, for a different reason.
Another hamstring.
There you go.
All right. Well, we got to start asking some questions on this physio team. This
You're
is
starting
crazy.
To put red string together on the wall, dog.
Okay.
I don't think it's the physio team in particular. I think it's There's just not a significant amount of depth. A lot of money's been spent on starters, and there really isn't depth below that. Even someone like a Fabio Vieira, who I thought was a serviceable midfielder, there were moments that were frustrating, but there were moments where you're like, oh, man, this guy's got something. Yeah, yeah. He gets sent on loan back to Porto. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not even on the bench to be able to support. A guy like Raheem Sterling comes in, could barely get on the pitch, has maybe two games where we're like, hey, maybe. But for the most part, really not doing much when he gets an opportunity. Maybe that changes, but he's certainly not getting the opportunities. I'm looking at this and saying these guys have to start every match. It's the only chance Arsenal has to win anything significant is if they start every match.
Have you seen those videos of like a lot of NBA podcasts? I've been doing this of like trying to guess what trios in the NBA have played the most minutes.
It's like out of the top five are all Knicks.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it might be like 8 out of 10. Any combination of players, the three players happen to be on the same team.
It's Jalen Brunson and Spin a Wheel.
And OG and whatever. Yeah. And Kat.
No,
and,
trust me, I watch these and then I shriek because it's Tibbs. This is what Tibbs does. Tibbs loves to wear out his players.
Yeah, and it's feeling a little bit like Arsenal kind of do the same thing as far as like...
Damn, I support two Tibbs, dude. It's double, crazy.
Double Tibbs is wild.
Yo, one Tibbs, a lot of Tibbs. Two Tibbs is nuts. I know Carter's giving us the two-minute thing, but I thought he was also saying two Tibbs.
No, so this is... look, I think at this point you have to ask some questions. I don't know if it's Arteta's fault or just the strategy on how the players either train or are maintained or the amount of rest that they get. This is crazy. I mean,
I'm going to say, I know the rumor is that a lot of money is going to be spent this summer by Arsenal. Everyone has their eyes on a striker position. Unfortunately, we're at a point where, and it sounds weird because Arsenal have finished second two seasons in a row and presumably now a third. It feels like every other club in the Premier League has sort of slid back, except for Liverpool, obviously, have sort of slid back in their performances and their effectiveness, where Arsenal haven't. But Arsenal probably have about four or five positions outside of striker that they need to fill. And some of it will be depth in the midfielder position or in the winger position, especially defensively, because I don't think Kivior is that guy that I think we all hoped he would be. But it's shocking to me that they still need that many players to sign. When you think in your head, you're like, striker and you're good. It's like, bro, there's a lot of miles on these knees, man. There's a lot of miles on these hammies.
Yeah.
Because they've been asked to play every single match.
I mean, and when you compare them to Liverpool, just in the stat of like how many injuries they've had, Liverpool haven't had many. I mean, you kind of need.
Because they have depth. They can rotate players. Remember last season when Klopp just kept finding, 16, 17, 18-year-olds and being like, oh, they're just as good as everyone else. It's crazy. Look at the depth they have. Arsenal have kind of started that with Miles Lewis-Skelly and Ethan Nwaneri, but I don't think it's at that level just yet. It's not at the level of what Liverpool were able to do last season, where some of these players, for me, if Ethan Nwaneri and Miles Lewis-Skelly start, I'd be just as comfortable as I am with the current crop of starters. But if there was like maybe two more kids out of the academy that can – at the very least, handle, let's say, 8 matches total starting, I'd be fine.
Yeah, it's disappointing, especially when we know, like we mentioned earlier, the upcoming match against in Champions League,
two matches against
Real Madrid, and. It's feeling like you're walking into a bit of a buzzsaw. I hope it doesn't go as badly as I imagine. But I don't even know where's the optimism. They're gonna
We need like a lemon law. You know, lemon law for cars. If you buy a car and like stuff just keeps going wrong with it, you can return it and get all your money back because you're like, this clearly you sold me a lemon. This season's a bit of a lemon for Arsenal. Just every player, one player comes back from injury, the another player goes down, is just tough.
Yeah. Well,
and then there's the argument that even if everyone was healthy, would it have been enough to compete with this year's Liverpool?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, all the
Arne Slot just has come in and done an absolutely incredible job.
Yeah. All the red cards don't
help. Arsenal's like this table right now, but it's a little wobbly, bro.
A little wobbly,
but can they make it to the end?
Okay. We shall see. I mentioned Real Madrid. We can talk about the upcoming Copa del Rey final. Which when does it happen?
Takes a while.
It takes a while for a time. But
April 26th.
April 26th.
Should we go, dude?
okay. We can't afford a table. We're going to go to Barcelona.
You know, let's sell this table. I'm sure we'll make enough.
But the Copa del Rey final set, this is now going to be the eighth matchup between the two clubs. So we got another Copa del Rey Clásico. So there's a lot sort of to juggle here because it's going to be fun to watch this matchup, but then there is the background of the news about Barcelona.
Yeah, the real final is Barca versus La Liga
right? Because La Liga is they seemingly look like are out for, not necessarily out for blood, but out for like some revenge. It's almost like you made us look bad by registering Dani Olmo and Pau Víctor and doing like whatever you had to do.
You won the core battle, but you might lose this war.
Right. So it seems like La Liga is, they're putting out a public statement saying like, this is not okay. I'm hearing like details about the, that Barcelona hired an accountant for 4 days to like, work the books, to do whatever you got. Like,
okay, allegedly.
I'm just hearing this. I don't know.
Rumor is what you're hearing.
So this was yesterday. We could
Ian
put it up on screen.
Using every character available to him.
My man got Twitter. He said,
"Is this an article or should I just tweet this?"
My man tells Grok what to write.
Damn.
Okay.
Grok popped up and was like, "Yo, be easy, my guy." That's a fourth paragraph, dude.
But Guillaume Balaguer, your homie at CBS, he said La Liga has annulled Barcelona's financial fair play maneuver that enabled...
The old-timey spelling of maneuver, too, bro.
It's like ye old English. Yo,
I saw you stutter, and even I was like, is that maneuver?
I think he throwing in some French in there.
Bro,
or something.
Manoeuvre. The financial fair play manoeuvre.
Well, does Guillaume speak like Catalan?
He speaks like 17 languages.
So he might confuse himself from time to time. But it says, Barcelona's financial play maneuver that enabled the registrations of Dani Olmo and Pau Víctor after the club's new auditor excluded the 100 million euro from VIP seat sales revenue they used to register the players, by the way, days after the deadline, pushing the club's finances beyond the permissible threshold. So it's right now the last thing I heard Carter was mentioning, I saw Fabrizio say that right now this is going to be settled, that basically the court, the sport court, I guess, in Spain.
Sport court,
for lack of better. Okay.
It almost sounds dirty. I don't know how that's possible.
But that they said, like, no, that this is the registering of the players is valid and they're not sort of getting involved. La Liga is basically telling the government, like, yo, don't trust these fools.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing something.
You fell for the jug, dude.
Don't fall for it. Okay. I know Laporta is charming, but no.
The cooks. The books have a little bit of a medium rare smell to them.
So the
there's another tweet from Guillaume Balaguer about that. If you want to read it out,
okay,
it's on the screen.
Yeah. You can put it on screen.
The Spanish government sports council has allowed Dani Olmo and Pau Víctor to remain registered with FC Barcelona until the end of the season. This, however, doesn't mean the club registered them correctly in the first place. La Liga claims Barca used projected income that now appears to be missing from the accounts. Hilarious. Now, I'm telling you, yo, next week I'm gonna get that. Yeah. No, it's coming in. The checks in the world, huh? Nonetheless, the CSD has ruled that the commission seeking to block the registration lacked the authority to do so. It's effectively a case of Barca being saved by the bell, a technicality. The decision to give the club time to explore new ways to register both players again in the summer. The decision gives the club time to explore new ways to register both players again in the summer, but La Liga warns that their options will be limited unless they generate more income.
This feels a little bit like...
Can I just say, while you're thinking of that, I feel like we're all rooting for the loan shark You know what I mean? Doesn't it feel like you got to pay these crazy fees? You better make your money or else we're going to break your legs.
Right.
And we're all like, break his legs. Break his legs. I don't know why. I'm not even a Barca hater, but I'm kind of rooting for La Liga because it's like, just even though there's like the semblance of rules is fake and everyone does whatever they want anyway.
Yeah.
Just keep the bullshit going, you know?
Right.
Let me believe in the magic.
And that's kind of what, like, the veil is being sort of uncovered.
Yeah,
of like,
I don't want to see all
the
this.
Wizard of Oz. You see the Wizard of Oz
pulling all them
pulling
strings.
All the strings. And it's like, oh, wait,
I've never seen Wizard of Oz. Is that what happens in it? Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Anybody?
Damn, bro. I didn't know I was going. The only part I've seen up until, like, the little monkeys on the sticks.
How have you avoided watching Wizard of Oz? Even as a child, they play it at school all the time.
They never played it at my school. I went to Catholic school. You think they're showing that? They're here's another you know, sacrament that you need to watch.
Anyway, this this feels a little bit too much like Barca is like, you know, getting a little bit of a favor.
I don't think that's what it is. I think Barca were smart enough to say, like, how do we put ourselves in a position for them to not legally be able to mess with us? And I feel like this is what it has. They found a technicality. They found a way to say, like, wait a minute. La Liga, you don't have all authority. You only have authority within the league. You don't have authority within the rules of hiring and firing people.
So I read a little bit of it, and basically the council was sort. Their argument was almost a very pragmatic one, like that Dani Olmo and Pau Víctor they shouldn't be denied the right to work.
This is what I'm saying. This is a greater.
It's like a labor issue.
Yeah. It's like if you were part of like a membership club and they were like, you broke the rules, you know, you got here late twice or whatever, you're out. You go to the courts and say, oh, they're not letting me be a part of this group.
Right.
And they're like, well, legally you can't kick them out. You're like, yeah, but our group laws say
you're not.
So they're like, you know, they're wearing the powdered wigs and going, what do you mean our rules? But what we say, this is our league. They're like, yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, your rules are superseded by the Supreme Court of Spain, if they have one.
But it's odd that Barca gets this much, like, protection or even benefit of the doubt.
But I think the rules would protect everyone in this situation.
That's where I disagree. I think there's a little
bit... You think the courts would be like, Barca let it do it, but not you?
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that. But there's a little of, like, too big to fail kind of thing. Of like,
some protectionism going on.
Yeah. That's what I am sensing.
Shouldn't La Liga be doing the same thing?
But
as terrible as that sounds,
but they have to be like, these are the rules, because they also have, you know, 19 other owners of the other clubs that are like, hey, why are they allowed to do this? This is why Laporta before the game against Atletico, I think it was, and he's in the media being like, they just hate us and they just trying to disparage the great name of Barcelona and blah blah blah, and he has to say that to deflect from like, hey, don't look at the paperwork.
Yeah, he's got to yell witch hunt. It's the only way out of it. Also, can I? I'm just a little hot take here.
Okay.
Shouldn't La Liga try to find a way to keep Barcelona registering players for the sake of the league?
I mean,
for the benefit of everyone involved. I could make the argument, and it's not going to be popular, but I could make the argument that a more star-studded Barcelona benefits the whole league. When Barcelona goes to play at, you know, Leganés away, or they go play in Valencia, there is a fervor to want to beat this team, right? Yeah. Soccernomics, the book, has kind of proven, they've done all the statistical work, having super teams benefits the league. It makes you look better internationally as a league, develops better players for your country, and third, it creates almost like a circus. You have to go to it when they're in town.
And I would argue that La Liga already do that. They already do that with the fact that Barcelona and Real Madrid get more of the TV right money.
They allow them to negotiate their own TV rights. That's why they get more of the money. They allow them to negotiate their own. It's not like La Liga gives them more of the money. La Liga should put it together the way Premier League did.
Right.
Very smart to do that.
But that exists where whether it's favorability or at the very least, they
it's benefit dumb rules.
More. They,
yeah, 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 it's yeah, dumb yeah. rules.
They benefit more. They get more money.
Yeah.
So they, you would argue they should just be responsible with the money and still follow the rules that every other club has to follow. And they,
but they write their own rules. Can you just make new rules?
I'm even fine with
this feels dumb. This feels like you're
the
cutting,
money.
You're shooting yourself in the foot.
Right. The money stuff. I'm like, look, I'm not looking at the books. Right. I don't exactly know. But the thing to me as just like if I'm trying to assume imagine that there is fairness in this league and in the world, then at the very least, submit the paperwork and submit everything on time. They got three extra four.
They
extra
waited
days.
For their mafia accountant to finish finding money.
So this is like you
allegedly
the rules at the very least the deadlines have to. How many players that the fax doesn't come in time and so they don't get to make the transfer and go to that club. That happens all the time. Why?
This is a player already on that team. I get your point.
But this is kind of absurd. And yes, it would have been a circus if Olmo and Pau Victor were deregistered and couldn't play, and it would have been a whole other thing. But still,
it just seems really dumb to me because a Barca that is not strong and a Barca that is not able to get the players that they kind of did sign. I mean, they rightfully signed these players.
Yeah.
Not being able to register them makes the league itself weaker.
It does, but it's also a stain on Barcelona, and they should be held accountable, and it's embarrassing.
I get it, but it's stupid.
They shouldn't be in this.
Are we going to a break?
Yeah, we have to.
Can I just do one thing real quick?
Kellen, yeah.
Can you just show your kit to the camera?
Sure.
Or go to the ISO.
Sure.
Okay, now, can you move the mic over? Above the San Francisco City logo, there is a leaf. Does that not look like Shrek's butthole? Look at it.
San Francisco are gonna love this.
It looks like Shrek's butthole. I've been staring at this the entire first segment. That looks like Shrek's butthole, dude.
I've never seen
it. Even got booty cheeks. It even got cheeks.
From this vantage point, it looks like a leaf.
It is a leaf
or a fruit of some kind.
It's not a fruit of some kind. I mean, you taste it, you tell me. It's Shrek's butthole. It's Shrek's butthole, bro.
All right. Well, no better introduction to our next guest, the midfielder for the Chicago Fire, a new Lotto ambassador and representative. Had a lovely conversation with the one and only Alan Acosta.
Christian, when we say we have the best guests in the world,
mm-hmm.
This is what I'm talking about right here.
Exactly. And a returning guest.
Exactly. Friend of the show at this point.
And before he was on the show, he has now received an award as one of the most stylish players, the most stylish player in CONCACAF.
I mean, we kind of called it on that episode, though, I think. So, if you guys remember back, maybe they were listening to us.
If you're on this show, you got to be stylish.
Immediate. First of all, we make you look better, all right? You see what we trying to do out here. But this is absolute honor. Not only has this man, A, been on the show, you've seen him all over internationally, now playing, I mean, for the Chicago Fire, great midfielder and a Lotto athlete. Ladies and gentlemen, Kellen Acosta, everybody.
Kellen, what's up, brother? Welcome back.
What's up? Thanks for having me back. Sad to be back.
Thank you, man. It's nice to, last time you were here in studio. The studio's changed a little bit. Now that you're just seeing it on camera, I mean, let us know what you think.
No, I think it looks great. It looks great. It got a nice little backdrop. I mean, when was I there last? Like 4 years ago? A few years ago? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you guys have done great with the place.
Look,
I mean, come back in studio.
Yes, you got to come back. We got you gummy candy last time. We'll run it back.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, how you doing with your gummy candy addiction? Like me. I mean, we both share this same problem. How are you holding up?
Yeah, I mean, I cut back a little bit since last time we spoke. I mean, I was basically this gummy fiend, if you will. But now I've kind of, changed my diet a bit. So Okay. Not so much into gum.
All right, that's why. That's why only one of us is more successful than the other. We know which one is which.
So let me just write this down. Change diet at some point. All right, hold on.
Yeah, some point. All some point, I got to make changes. But I'm just on my cheat day.
You sounded like my wife and my cardiologist. I ain't gonna lie.
Kellen, we're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff. I just want to make sure we talk about, especially the shirt or jacket that you're wearing.
We see the logo,
Lotto, which is a brand that I think. I was mentioning before we started recording, I had the last Lotto shirt that I had bought was in Japan when I went there a couple years ago. And now I'm starting to see on my timeline a few more Lotto athletes. I mean, Stu Holden is one of the guys that he does his job.
Yeah, man.
Any city he's in, he's like, hey, check out the shoes.
Yeah. He about to get a lower back tattoo of the Lotto logo. he's working overtime.
So new partnership and this new endeavor for you.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I think it's kind of just like a full circle moment for me. I mean, Lotto is one of my first ever boots. And so to come back to wear it again and to bring it to my younger fans, it's honestly a dream come true. I think it's super cool. It's a great brand, timeless, nostalgic, and you know, it's being innovative in a way. I think it's right now, it's about, you know, coming back into the U.S. market and growing the brand, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
That's what I was going to ask, because, you know, when we talk about Lotto, or Lotto, as all my Italian friends call it, it's you think back to like a classic shirt. Serie A is big, right? Lotto, I see a lot of Serie A in the past. What is it what's it going to become in the U.S.? Is it like more streetwear? Is it just going to strictly be for the players? Because I got to be honest, some of us, we're not really, you know, in the abs, you know, shape. Like a lot of the Lotto shirts from back in the day.
He got gummies in his pocket right now.
I am a gummy. I'm a big ass gummy.
Right. Oh, man. Nah. I mean, yeah, to put it simply, I mean, I think it's a combination of all the things. I think on field, off the field, and want to be a brand that's going to be cool. I mean, I think, you know, the whole fashion industry is being shaken up a bit with soccer. You've seen all the classic jerseys to the footwear, to all the styles and the silhouettes. And I think Lotto's right up there. And I think you'll see in the near future, you're going to be seeing not only just on field, but off the field with kind of the street style as well. So it's looking great, especially, you know, with the 2026 World Cup coming along. I think there's going to be a lot of cool things that Lotto's going to do in the fashion world, but also on field.
That's beautiful.
Especially when you're on the field, I know, you know, there's certain brands that basically take over, you know, what boots people wear, or they sponsor certain athletes or whatever. And then whenever a player like goes out on their own and they do like just a different brand, doesn't even matter if it's not like Nike or Adidas, as soon as it's something different, what do the other players say? Like, yo, what are those like? Those look dope. Should I try them or whatever?
Someone putting them on and walking out to training before you?
Are you talking about just me personally?
Yeah. Wearing a different boot than everyone else is wearing. Like, how do other players sort of interact with that and ask questions about it? Because I know they're curious.
Yeah, I think everyone's very intrigued because it's something that's out of the norm. I think, especially for me, I think I take pride in being different than everyone else. And to be a focal point of a brand, especially here in the U.S., I think it's a huge honor. But I think it's cool because everyone, you know, like you mentioned, you see the Adidas and the Nikes and so on and so forth. So being a bit different obviously catches people's eye. And so it's kind of a talk around the locker room. Could I wear, you know, different boots of Lotto, different colors? And so it's cool just to bring out different colors. Everyone's like, oh, let me see those. Let me try those on. What are those like? And then, you know, on the street side, I mean, I'm wearing different sneakers that are out of the norm as well. They're super cool and innovative. And everyone's just super intrigued with the stuff that I put on. So I think it's a cool experience every which day.
See, I know how you feel, though, because I went to Catholic school, but in seventh grade, I decided to wear Tim's with my uniform.
There you go. So you know.
So I already, you know what I mean? I understood. The vibe changed when I walked in and also got the tension. It turns out you're not supposed to do that.
Right? You turn in head. That's why I threw them on. I got the Tim's on today. Yeah, I'm shaking it up.
Yeah, I like to think the teachers just wanted to see the shoes more. That's why they wanted me to stay after for a couple, for an hour or two.
That's when you get hit with a ruler, bro.
No, I got the rosary, bro. Catholic school's crazy.
Kellen, I want to talk about the fire this season and obviously Greg Berhalter and all the changes and stuff like that. But I do, we haven't spoken to you in a while. I do have to ask about that goal you scored last year.
The Windy City Miracle.
I don't even know what they're calling it, but this was one of the most odd and strange goals I've ever seen in my life. And I'm sure you've, same for you. Yeah. And you are you.
And the allegations won't stop, but I saw you lick your finger and test the wind before.
You said,
right. Yeah. So people only see, you know, the aftermath, right? And they see the finished product, but they didn't see the hours and dedication
right.
put into that moment to just, get there.
So. Just staring at a windsock with a notebook.
right.
What? It's like, why is Kellen doing free kicks? From 55 yards out.
Yeah. I got doing field goal numbers, bro.
Practice for all occasions.
Yeah. I mean, look, that was just one of the craziest goals, I think, in MLS history. And it just
probably
in
football history.
It's just a wild one. I mean, we saw the celebrations. We saw the shock on everybody's faces. But that moment for you, what do you remember most about it? How did it make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to even describe it. I mean, I think for us, I mean, the whole game, it was a tough game, a windy day. We go down early 2-0, then get one back at half. Then they scored early second half. And so we had a big mountain to climb. And, you know, we it was very chaotic, I would say, but we were able to kind of scratch our way back. And yeah, I mean, everyone sees the last minute goal that I had. It was just one of those things where I'm like, okay, I'm going to utilize the win, but also put it in a dangerous spot that's just going to cause chaos. And, you know, the rest is history. The win kind of took it. I mean, I honestly didn't think it had a chance, but it literally just kept going and it carried. And it happened to be on St. Paddy's Day, which is like another full circle, which is, you know, look at the Irish, if you will. But yeah, it was crazy. I know Brady, our goalie, was super excited because that was his first ever assist as well.
Hilarious.
So it was crazy.
This is a Disney or Pixar movie in the making.
Right. So if Disney, if you're watching, I mean, we should blow that up.
You got to have a dog on the team. There's a kid who got, you know, maybe like a horse muscle put in his legs. So he's a good kicker. And then you score that goal. I mean, talk about the change in Chicago, right? The first match of the season scared us a little bit. I ain't going to lie. And you guys have kind of been doing pretty well since then. Talk about what it's like working with Berhalter again and just sort of what the changes he's made in this team and how you're being used.
Yeah, I think it's just a new energy and dynamic within the team. I think we're playing, you know, better branded football. So, I mean, it's obviously a testament to Greg and what he's implemented within the team, but also just the great group of guys that we had. I mean, we also got to execute and, you know, put that what we practice into play. And I thought the guys have done tremendously well from, you know, from preseason until this point. Me and Greg's a guy that, you know, I know very well. So it's great to work under him again. And I think for us, I think we've made some good first steps, but you know, it's a long season ahead. You gotta take it game by game, and I think it's been a good first start of the season. But like I said, I think, you know, we have another opportunity this weekend, which is another tough game playing away up in New York or New Jersey, if you will, Red Bull. Like I said, take it game by game. But yeah, I think we're a team with high ambitions, and I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't want to downplay it at all because I know we have a lot of Fire fans that are fans of our show, and any little just inkling of success.
A positive mention of a Chicago Fire because
the last few years have been difficult. I mean, when you talk about the energy being different, is there anything specific that you can talk to? Because there's generally a positivity, more smiling, a bit of a joy, even... I always look at it, especially when the Fire have been down in games from last year to even this year, and even we have a smaller sample size. But there's an energy and a grit and a real strong desire to, like, obviously not replicate those seasons of the past.
Yeah, no, I think for sure. I think there's definitely a resiliency to the group. I think sometimes you know, you get knocked down early, and I think what's been a theme of the past is, you know, go down early instead of, you know, clawing our way back. You know, we end up getting scored on it again and again and again. But I think this year we have that belief and that winning mentality that, you know, whatever challenge and obstacle is kind of thrown our way, we're able to one, face it head on and adapt and conquer. And we've shown that, you know, in the early stages of the game. And I mean, hopefully we're not having to adapt to a lot of games, but also playing, you know, more our football and dictate the game. But, you know, sometimes that's just the way it happens. But I think, yeah, like I said, I think there's just that winning mentality and that belief within the group that, you know, we are a good team. Believing that first, and then the next part is actually going out there and doing it. So I think it's been great thus far, but yeah, we want to continue building on that.
Yeah, fun fact, Shaqiri as involved this year as he was last year.
you gotta get one in there. Sorry, you know what I mean?
Sorry.
you're getting in trouble for that one.
That was just for the homies in Section 8, and I mean the Chicago Fire fans, not my cousins. which we're going. I do want to ask, though, Greg Berhalter, we've heard from players that have played for him when we've spoken to him. We hear that he could be very particular, very detail-oriented. He has a system that you have to understand. For someone like you, you've been in this league for a while now. Is it difficult? Like, do you have, like, homework to figure out exactly where you're supposed to be when things are happening? Or do you think he leans on you in a different way?
You're talking about just me personally?
Yeah, just you personally.
You're talking about as a group. I mean, obviously, like I said, as a guy that I know, I mean, I think when it comes to details, he has a structure in place, but that's just giving us ideas within the game to help us succeed. And it's the rest of us is their individual characteristics to come out to really take it to another team. I think for me, you know, he's leaning on me to be one of the leaders and a guy that he can, you know, lean on, especially within the team, especially with the new guys. But it's a responsibility that, I've kind of shouldered, and I've been enjoying it. And like I said, I mean, you know, what he's implemented is stuff that I've, you know, come to know over the past year. So it comes pretty easy to me, but it's just passing along to the other guys. And I think the guys have done a tremendous job of, you know, just adapting and learning. And like I said, I mean, it's shown in the games. And, you know, for a team where we want to be, we got to just continue to grow.
All right. The other thing I want to ask about is your teammate, who I think has one of the greatest names in football, the right winger, the Danish Philip Zinckernagel. We just keep repeating his name because it's just a fun name to say.
It sounds like an old timey,
like not, a trade.
Like, or you're messing with somebody. Oh, you got a couple of this kid. You're being rambunctious. You know, you're being.
I mean, look. He's been a great addition to the team, but I mean, when you see the name on the roster, you got to giggle a little bit, right?
How stressed is the kit man though, making that kid? Huh?
I know. He's like, don't get one letter wrong.
Pronunciation is important.
You gotta be on point.
You better enunciate.
right.
But no, can you speak to his play a little? He's been fantastic so far this season.
Yeah, I think he's been a great addition. I mean, as well as the others, you know, Joe Bamba has been tremendously well. Jack Elliott in the back, Barroso outside back that slotted in. You know, even guy that we haven't talked about as much has been around, Sergio Orihel, has been tremendous for us. A young kid that's coming in and done a lot. You know, we have others as well. I mean, Romy coming in. We have a number of guys that have done, you know, tremendously well. I mean, I think I can't just highlight Phil, but he has done well in the past couple of games, 2 goals in 2 games and an assist, which is great. And I think for us, you know, we need to get our attacking guys going. And, you know, Phil's a testament to that. He's working extremely hard in training and excited to see him on the score sheet. I think next up is getting Bamba on the score sheet. He's assisted a few times, but I think his goals are coming. And, you know, Ugo's been tremendous as well. So, yeah, it's about being the guys up top, getting them good spots and, you know, let them do what they do. And I think it's been great thus far. But, yeah, like you said, we want to get all those guys in double digits.
Have you given him a nickname, and can you say it on the show?
You talking about Phil? No, I just call him Phil. I mean, it's Phil. Last name. Just like you, I mean, I might butcher it. I mean, I might say Chicago to, I think, I just kind of just let it rest because I'll butcher it as well.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Phil. The last thing I want to ask is, since the last time you were here, I think you wrote a piece you were obviously profiled in a piece about your Japanese heritage. And I love that. It felt like an interesting, just a thing of like, oh, we get to know Kellen Acosta like a little bit more. And you spoke about certain details about like, you know, either difficult upbringing or, you know, we sort of talk about this as Hispanic people deal with this a lot, especially first generation, like ni de aquí, ni de allá. Like you don't know what sort of culture.
You're not American enough for America. You're not Cuban enough for Cuban or Dominican enough for Dominican.
Right.
So you feel like sort of lost in this middle space.
So I love that insight. After writing that piece, after that piece came out, what was the sort of the response? And I'm sure either people reached out to you or learned things about you that they may have not known. What was the impact after it came out?
Yeah, no, it was cool. I got a lot of just positive responses. I think it was one of those things where I think a lot of people are in the similar boat as me, they're trying to fit in some place, like you mentioned, right? And like, for me, it's like, I'm kind of an anomaly. Like, I'm African-American by look. I have an Hispanic last name, a Japanese heritage. And everyone's like, so where do you belong? I dress different. I play different sports. And my family dynamic was super different. So I think I dealt with this whole identity thing where I didn't know where I kind of fit in. I think a lot of people were dealing with that at some capacity. So it was kind of cool to kind of just seeing the different feedback from different people. It was just like, that was eye opening. I'm dealing with this too, but thank you for coming forth and using your platform for good. I think that was super positive. And it was very heartwarming for me to kind of see those positive messages and hopefully make a positive impact in other people's lives.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, because I mean, for years I heard the name Acosta. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, he's one of us.
You Panamanian or something?
Dominican, Cuban, Colombian.
So it's like, Mexican. So you have like all the Caribbean islands and Japanese? That's crazy.
No, it's great. Understood. I mean, as a Dominican dude that gets constantly confused for like a Filipino person, I'm like, yo, Kellen's my guy. All right.
So, and for someone who gets confused by whatever the guy who owns the bodega is, and I let him believe it. Okay. I let him believe
this man
it.
Has influence in your community.
If you Dominican, you walk in, Bobby, hey, get on care. If you walk in and you Yemeni, Habib T. You know what I mean? I want the discount.
Kellen Acosta, thank you so much for joining us, man. Obviously, best of luck going forward with the fire. Best of luck, obviously, with everything with Lotto. So we're excited to see not only the fits, the photo shoots. Kellen is not a, I'm just a behind the camera kind of guy.
No, he's like, put the lights on me. Yeah.
Right, so we love to see it, brother.
Hey, any double XLs coming out, you know where to send them. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll make sure you guys get a little care package.
Oh, that's too kind, man.
We don't need too much. Don't send a lot of.
You're going to plug that in.
Free bits.
Kellen Acosta, thanks so much, brother.
Thanks, man. Kellen Acosta.
Let's go. Kellen, the homie.
At this point, you might as well just come in studio, grab the third mic, and relax on this wobbly table with us.
Exactly. Steady this table, bro.
Buddy, lift your knees up and hold this thing steady, will you?
Okay, we need a calming presence in the midfield and in the middle of the table.
Yeah, for real. Be the number six we need in this for this table, huh?
So shout out to Kellen Acosta. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah.
Hey, Christian, you know what time it is?
I do know what time it is.
Let's run that back.
We gotta run that back because there's a lot of stuff going on in footy that we have to take a look at, opine on.
It's not just Shrek booty all we talking about on this show.
All right.
We got so much more.
We go to the Patreon for the Shrek booty hole content.
Oh.
But there's been a couple things. We got to start with Jose Mourinho, who was always making news.
He's never done anything wrong.
It's almost like he only does things wrong. He only does wrong things. And then we have to do a segment of like, Mourinho did something nice. You know what I mean? Like, good news today. Or whatever.
Right.
Remember when John Krasinski had that segment during the
COVID
pandemic?
Was a weird time, bro.
He was like, let's talk about good news, all right? It's a little bit tougher to do that segment nowadays.
You studied improv the same way I did. Hated it, but I did it. The game and the scene, right? Which is like, what's the funny part of the scene that we're all...
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like at some point, if you don't edit a scene, the game gets too big? It's like taking over the whole scene.
It gets too absurd, yeah.
Yeah. The reality's lost now. We're just doing this one thing. Doesn't it feel like Jose Mourinho's kind of taken his character and it's gotten too big now?
Yeah, it's like a series that should have ended
jumped the shark
3-4 years ago, but it's like it's almost like General Hospital. Like, how are we still on TV?
Right. How many evil twins has this show had?
And Jose Mourinho is kind of the epitome of that, where you thought you saw it all in the Premier League. You thought you saw it all in La Liga. You thought all the drama, all everything. You thought it was all, there's nothing new that he can surprise you with.
So we thought.
And now let's take a look at this, Carter, because Jose Mourinho.
My guy's in Turkey, obviously. Fenerbahce, one of the big capital clubs. So is Galatasaray. And
boom. Make it full screen if you can.
He tries to chloroform a guy. Remember that? Remember that? So remember this is, like, 90s movies taught us that chloroform was a big deal?
So just for the audio listener, just to set the scene a little bit. This is the Istanbul Derby. So this is it Fenerbahce
versus Galatasaray, which is one of the three, right? Beşiktaş being the other capital club.
Yeah.
It's huge. These are massive. I mean, if you don't know, these are insane. Oh, he tried to squeeze his nose.
He tried to squeeze his nose a little bit. I thought it looked a little bit like a little got your nose kind of a thing. I didn't know what Mourinho was trying to do. It seemed like something that, you know, I do with my 2-year-old. All
right. Right.
And it's just, so what's the
is that the Jamie O'Hara? the coach of Galatasaray?
What's the coach's name, Carter? It's in the if you hit escape. His name is Okan Buruk. So it says Jose Mourinho appeared to pull Galatasaray manager Okan Buruk's nose during the Istanbul Derby. So this is
this like maybe a Turkish thing or a Portuguese thing of like a sign of disrespect? To grab someone's nose or something? Like, does it have a bigger meaning?
I don't know. It's like, if Mourinho, like, threw a shoe at him, I'd be like, oh, boy. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is really bad.
Seen that one before.
No, this is a, Fenerbahce won the game. It's a derby. So it's obviously an intense game. Mourinho also had the thing where he got suspended a couple months ago for the comment about celebrating like monkeys or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's already like at the very least like offended or is not really respecting Turkish culture enough.
He said the league smells bad.
Right.
And then he grabs his nose. This could all be tied together. But yeah, remember he said nobody watches the Turkish league.
Yeah.
Only my son does, and that's because I'm here.
So
he said the league, it's gray, it smells bad, which a league just cannot smell bad. But he's clearly like, I think the character of Jose Mourinho that used the media to his benefit and, you know, joked around. And again, as an Arsenal fan, it was sometimes pointed at Arsene Wenger and at us. And he's not the special one. He's something a failure. He had all these things that he used to do. And now it feels like it's gotten away from him. He waited for the ref when he was in Roma. Remember, he waited for the ref to
to
physically beat him up or whatever the case was. Like it was like threats and pressure tactics. He said the league smells bad. Now he's pinching or grabbing somebody's nose. It's like, bro, you taking it one step too far.
Carter, you also, you're on the, you can go back to the main shot. You're on the, all good. But
there's a little of what we might be talking about next.
The next one. But but seeing stuff like this is where as a fan of the game and a fan of Mourinho, I love the drama. I'm into it. I know he's going to do things that like piss people off sometimes, but
you think the juice is worth the squeeze here?
I don't think it is. This is why it's like, all right, there's certain things I can defend, especially his commentary. Sometimes he says ridiculous, brash things that where it's a little like, you know, hearing Trump speak sometimes, but you're like, well, he tells it like it is, you know, even though some of the things are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You understand, you see the charisma, you see the charm.
When people are like, he speaks the way I speak, and like, that's why you shouldn't be president. guy who runs this bodega.
But Mourinho has a way, like we understand that whether his, you know, his tactics and style may not be relevant anymore right now with like the way their game is.
Or it keeps Fenerbahce at the top of, news cycle every few months,
The SEO for Fenerbahce is crazy. Engagement is up.
And by the way, it's not like the games versus Galatasaray, we're going to be lightly spirited before this. These are horrific. These matches are ridiculously intense. There are stories of people sleeping overnight in the ad boards and pulling out a knife when they wake up in the middle of the match. Remember the one guy took the flag and planted it in the middle of the pitch during the game? There's some history that goes back in these matches where this wouldn't have necessarily, this doesn't all of a sudden make it rough. It was rough before.
Right, right.
But this also feels like you don't need any more fuel in this fire.
Yeah, I don't know what there will probably be some penalty, right?
Of course.
You hands to the face from a player to another player. Right. It's a red card.
I will say, Buruk made a lot of it.
Made
a lot out of it.
he did. It's similar to the Louis van Gaal. The classic. Why did he fall? He bumped into somebody, or somebody bumped.
No, wasn't he pretending? Somebody got injured.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. He was.
I think the one that brings come to mind is when Robin van Persie played for Manchester United. The ball got kicked at his head, and Sir Alex Ferguson said he could have got killed. I'm like, I relaxed, bro. Was it kicked by a Ford Tundra or a Toyota Tundra, dude?
So we'll see what the penalty is going to be. You imagine something's going to happen, especially with he already served the suspension from the other thing.
Just getting extra days off of work. This is smart, bro. Let's go to option number two, which those of you who watch may have already seen. But this one is, we run it back to this. Ederson said, I have only one superstition. I think you saw this as well.
Yeah.
I play every game with the same
pair of boxers. Let's play the whole thing and then react to it.
I have only one superstition.
What's that?
You play every game the same.
With what?
Same box.
Oh, same boxer shorts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? What? The same for the whole season?
Yeah. No. 80 years, the same box.
No way.
Yeah.
They must be not in good shape.
No.
Okay. So that's what happened. Ederson, his superstition is to wear the same boxers for every game. And he was, the interviewer was assuming like, oh, obviously for like the season. Okay, cool. And he said, no, he's been wearing the same boxers for 8 years. How many days is that? Can we do the math on that?
Can we talk about the sheer PTSD that the kit man must have? Just
why,
you know, a pandemic level mask, tongs with gloves, picking these disgusting things up. They got to get washed by themselves.
They got to get washed regularly.
Do not wash them with other. Don't put my clothes in with that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I get it.
How would you feel if you were at the laundromat and you saw a person who lives on the street take their shirt off and throw it in with your laundry? You'd be like, we're gonna have to run that back one more time. Hold on a second. We have to run back for the laundry.
What kind of fabric lasts this long? We've all had underwear that much.
You suggest there's fabric left. It is it is two pieces of elastic around the thighs, one around the waist, and just strings of fabric holding those together.
There's no way that it's like a, you know what I mean? Like that especially the elastic.
It's just the elastic band.
The elastic band can't be. There's no way it's like,
no,
it's still
knot.
Tightening, right?
Will not tie to the back.
Yes.
This thing, first of all, I don't think I've ever owned a pair of clothing for 8 years.
Right.
That I, especially not that I use weekly.
That is wild. I mean,
what's the oldest pair of underwear you have?
The oldest pair of underwear I have
that you use?
That I use has to be maybe 4 years.
Okay, I'm around the same.
Yeah.
And I have a pair of underwear that's 4 years old. I only use them when I run out of all the other underwear. You know what I mean?
Right.
I have
like
two laundry day pair of underwear.
Yeah.
You know what I bought? It was the Tommy John. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like with copper infused.
Well, no, they're not copper infused. They're called Second Skin. I was like, oh, this would be great, but it's the fabric's too smooth. So if any movement I do, my whole booty falls out. My pants will just slide right down. Any movement, I take one step. Whole ass out. It's too smooth, the fabric.
Gotcha.
I need more friction.
Maybe they're too small.
No. First of all, they're boxer briefs. They're going to be tight anyway. All
right.
They're not too small. It's, you don't understand. My pants have nothing to hold on to. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
It's too smooth.
You need suspenders for your underwear.
I need like little rubber mats on the inside of my pants. It's crazy.
Yeah.
My underwear stays up. The pants fall down. I think I need to make that clear. The underwear stays on.
God.
The fabric is too smooth. The pants just slide right off it.
Oh, but you don't wear a belt?
I'm wearing a belt, buddy. Buddy, I'm wearing a belt and I got yeeks. But the pants are just like, you know, when you're a little bit bigger, a lot there's a lot of body when you bend. You know what I mean? You don't understand this. You will in the future. I have a feeling when you look like me when you're 80, I will we'll be able to run this back.
Show me photos.
I'm gonna make that sound when you're 80, bro.
Now this is also a thing where I don't even understand why he revealed this. This is
You saw the smile on his face. He's like,
for him to be like, yeah, this is what I do.
This lets you know he's done in the Premier League.
Oh, okay.
He's like, oh, I'm just going to talk about my underwear now in this interview.
This is my
I'm going Saudi, baby.
My farewell tour. Yeah, yeah.
No F's given at this point. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you my superstition. I eat chicken before a game. I'm wearing the same pair of stanky underwear.
I also poke this Pep Guardiola doll. So it's all good. This is 8 years is crazy. 8 years. It's just that number.
I don't mind if you have a pair of underwear superstitiously for 8 years. The fact that you wear it weekly is the crazy part.
Yeah, yeah. This is why you ain't starting, Ederson, bro. This has to be
more like Ederson stink. Am I right, everyone? Am I right, everyone?
Oh, that's why you got cooked, bro.
Like Barca books, dog. I
can't believe you revealed that about yourself.
Damn.
Get ready to get roasted for the rest of your life.
Damn.
I hope he stops.
Old Stank Shorts is here again, bro.
This is why. Do you have any superstitions?
I'm not really too superstitious. I don't wear kits to games anymore.
Okay.
Or match days.
Gotcha.
I went through a run where we started losing every time I wore it when I would watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped.
Interesting.
It's not necessarily like we won it a lot more, but.
All right. Mine is I wear the same underwear every day for the last 15 years.
No washes either, bro. Just put it in the freezer. You feel me? I need that crisp cold against my nether regions.
I tell my wife, you better love me as is.
Huh? Forget the fleas. Flying around, bro.
All right, as another run that back. All right, let's wrap up today's show. Again, thank you again to Kellen Acosta for joining us. We had a great time chatting with him. What's today? Today's Thursday. We'll be back again on Monday with a brand new episode, and I think we have a guest that day as well. I assume so. I don't know who, but just know that this is the show. People come through because they're like, "Yo, we got to get on the cooling and have a good time, and hang out." All right, cool. I mean,
people love us, dude. I mean,
the crowd goes miles. anything else? Make sure you follow us on Blue Sky. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit the like. Do all the things you're
right now.
To do.
Right below. I believe it's probably right below Christian. Go down and click that like button. A little thumbs up. That's huge for us.
Mm-hmm. And just put it in the comment section. Just put what superstition you have. Okay. Have fun. I mean,
this is literally just annoying Chris.
You could do this if you want. I mean, it's like annoying me, but it's also everybody who has headphones.
Nah, they're like, people clapping for that, and this is good. They're used to the sound of applause, baby.
All right, we'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. I hope all your teams lose. We'll see you later, everybody.
You got cooked. Love you guys.